I feel like with active shooter training, you either live or die. Like, that is how you win the training, if you live. And hypothetically, it seemed like you lived, so I think you won the training.
I'm a little taken aback, because with what you just said, it makes it seem like you're assuming that live rounds were being used for an active
shooter. Was there a
gun
involved?
There was a gun, but they didn't bring ammo.
If there was a gun, then you hypothetically could have died. So did you hypothetically die, or did you live?
I don't know how to answer that.
Did he shoot you with the fake gun or not?
No, he didn't. We made it out
alive.
Okay,
so you lived. So you won. You didn't die. You were just trying to assess whether or not you were good at training, and you lived. So you won training.
Do you want to know what I'm definitely good at?
What?
Segways, because this is the Weirdzilla podcast. Casual bi-weekly podcast, Marcus. We discuss bizarre, I think disturbing things and silly things for the insured 100%. I already did the money back joke last time. We do it for entertainment, and I'm certainly entertained.
You can say it every time. Okay. I give you that blessing.
To give money back that we don't have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Legally, you get your money's worth with this podcast.
I think we're writing checks that we can't cash is what I think. You got to tell me something interesting now, though, because we had some banter, but I only feel like it's worth some reciprocation before I slap you with a haiku.
Oh, and man, if there's nothing, it's just in my brain right now to tell you all the interesting things that I've read for this.
Oh, okay.
Podcast episode, but you can't jump ahead to that yet. So I've got nothing. Interesting.
You're chomping at the bit with content is what's happening.
I am chomping at the bit like an alligator in the sewers of New York City.
I thought you were going to say Florida and do a callback, but you didn't, and you stink. Okay, so, okay, haiku time. Let's gather our senses. Let's bring our aura to a calm, steady pace. Your breathing. Close your eyelid. Just one of them. I can see it. Very good. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to receive.
I was just about to speak. Is everything wrong? Are you the only one right? Time to see a shrink.
Wow.
Now, here's what I'll say about that one.
Uh-huh.
I feel out of all the haikus that I may or may not remember thus far sharing on this show,
yeah,
I feel like this one, I think it fits us the most.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Just me? You don't think so?
No, I like it.
I don't know.
I would say like this was like top tier. This is top tier.
Top tier haiku?
Of all the haikus.
Is it top tier coup? Is that too?
Top coups. Top 10 coups.
Okay, all right. Hang on. Before we dive in, have we had this conversation yet about how what really grinds my gears, what really, I don't know, it brings out something evil deep within me.
Is what?
It's unnecessary. Shortening of words. Have we talked about that?
No.
Have we not?
No, we haven't.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't dive into it, but I just
want to. Give me a quick why.
I think.
Why?
Well, because here's the issue is now I'm blanking on all the main words that really stressed me out about it. So I don't think I have a good example.
Give me an A for your Q, bro.
Oh my gosh. Hang on. So like, let's just say. Like, well, a prime example, like if we just said, like, if you intentionally shortened haiku to ku, what's the point? You didn't get anything out of it. Now you just sound like a silly person.
What I got out of it is my goddamn time back.
Okay.
It's so efficient to just shorten everything. You do it enough, you're earning your life back, dude. You know how they're like, oh, working out will like give you 5 years of your life back.
Do they say that? I think they say that it kills your body.
Same thing with shortening words. You shorten words, you're getting a percentage of your life back.
I think that needs to be looked into. But anyway, you know, okay, so shortening aside, I know you're biting at the chomping at the bit and the bits and the haikus, but we do have one more thing to get. We're going to dive headfirst into our most famous segment, and it goes like this.
It came from inside the house.
What do you think? I thought about it. I was going to the bathroom before we hit record, and I thought I'm gonna wow him. I'm gonna take artistic liberty, and I'm just gonna go for it. What do you think?
I do want to let you know I am fully erect now.
Wow,
that I had an impact on me.
That's good. I think. Well, I don't know. I mean, unless if it's out of anger. I think that's a thing that can happen.
Is it an anger boner?
I think only you can answer that, and I don't think you should. But anyway, we're going to move on to our famous segment. It came from inside the house.
I'll have to talk to my therapist about that.
It's shrink. Marcus, the listeners can email us at weirdzillapodcast@gmail.com to share weird stories, spooky stories, but not stories that don't live up to Marcus's expectations of what they should be.
Don't tell me a story about you going to look at a fucking house and how the real estate agent flirted with you for like a half hour. Don't tell me those stories. Tell me stories about how she turned out to be a ghost in the end. Like something interesting has to happen.
Something like we were never really here.
I have high standards for these stories.
Well, here we go. I'm really excited about this one. This is from Alex. And this was, again, if I haven't said this already, I'd never look at these until the moment of, because I feel like that's fun and spontaneous. Respect. But sometimes it's bitten us in the butt, like with Alan's story, I think it was. I think. Anyway, Alex, here we go, baby. And he says, okay, so here's my weird story. When I was younger, the age where I would have been in Babe Ruth baseball, I was walking to the mobile gas station down the road from the baseball diamonds with one of the kids on my team. He was the kid that lived in the house behind me. I honestly can't even remember his name. But that's not the point of the story. Period. So we go to the gas station because it was the tournament weekend. We went to just grab some extra snacks in between our games. On our way to and back from the baseball diamonds, we would cut through some neighborhood roads, which included walking by this large apartment complex where the cops would be frequently, for some reason or another, usually just normal stuff. What does normal stuff mean in that scenario? Just normal cop stuff?
Is eating
that
donuts?
Just doing cop business? Anyway. So
just copping around.
Just copping around. So being young, dumb kids, as we were walking back to the apartment complex after we had gotten our snacks at the gas station, we heard yelling coming from the apartment complex and decided to be stupid and yell back at them. And then we ran away giggling like little girls, like we had done something cool. Again, we were really dumb. So we get back to the baseball field. Maybe about 45 minutes goes by, we're eating snacks. Not a care in the world when all of a sudden everybody at the field starts talking about something frantically after one person had gotten a phone call. Do you know where this is going? I can kind of feel where I know this is going.
No.
Okay. It turns out that the phone call was to inform them that they needed to leave the baseball fields because right down the road at the apartment complex, there had been a quadruple homicide.
Oh, shit.
And the murderer had fled on foot somewhere in the surrounding neighborhoods. That yelling that we had heard and yelled back at turned out to be, I know Alex, side note, and I didn't even know this. So it turned out to be a guy named Nicholas Sheely, who had the previous night murdered an older man after demanding money from him to buy drugs.
Oh, shit.
That day, he went and killed a man in Galesburg, stole his vehicle, came back to Rock Falls, and bludgeoned to death his fiance, her children, and her roommates. He then hid all of those bodies in the truck he had stolen and fled to Missouri, where he finally killed his last two victims and would be later arrested. Surprise, you a true crime podcast now. Much love, boys.
Holy crap. That's crazy.
Yeah. So again, yeah. So I remember that happening. That was Rock Falls was close to my hometown. Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah, I don't think he ever told me that.
Who is there, this? Here's again, the thing. Alvin?
Yes, it's Alvin.
Okay,
it's
Alex, what's his name?
Alex.
Okay, I have a message to Alex. You are a true Chad. You are
the
coolest of the cool. You are a god amongst how whatever gender you identify. Where is this going? Because you You actually listened. You submitted a dope ass story. It was spooky. I was on the edge of my seat, and it paid off. And also, may they rest in peace. Dope. Good story. Well, unlike the other real estate person.
All right. Oh my gosh. Well, here's a weird way to bounce back from that one. Oh my gosh. Talk about transitions. Okay, it came from inside the house. You're welcome. Now, in a total out of left field tonal shift, do you wanna do the pitch of what the next couple of minutes holds for
this
us?
This week we're talking about weird pets.
That was good. You surprised yourself.
I am surprised. I closed my articles, but I feel like I royally fucked up last week, and then I sent you an article about a shark
that we will get into.
And I was like, wow, this is weird. And you're like, let's do pets. And I was like, fuck it. Let's go. Let's just do it.
I should have said aquatic animals.
Let's just go. Let's see what we have to offer the world. And so we're going to talk about weird animals, weird pets. I don't know what you have. Perfect. So
I have.
We'll see what we're talking about.
I wanted to play this one a little close to the chest as well, just because the wonderful world that is the animal kingdom, I feel has much to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around, I have five or six little tidbits about just kind of mostly common household animals and just kind of
that's interesting,
fun little tales that other people have experienced.
So how do you want to do this? You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first all day long. You just tell me the word.
I've got two long ones. So maybe I go first.
You go first.
And then you do yours, and then I do another long one, and then you could do the rest of yours.
I'm ready.
Okay. This is the article that inspired the episode. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Okay. Are you ready?
I peed a little bit. I'm ready.
Baby shark born in all-female tank could be the first virgin birth for its species.
You sent me this with no caption, by the way. Did you realize that?
You're welcome.
Okay, continue.
Because I didn't want to spoil it for you. Scientists say a rare shark virgin birth. This is, okay, I'll get to it. I'll read it first and then we'll talk. Stop interrupting me. May be the first of its kind after a baby shark was born in an all-female tank in an Italian aquarium. The baby smooth hound shark named Ispera, which means hope in Sardinian, was born at the Aquario di Cala Gonone in Sardinia, Italy. According to Italian outlet AGI, its mother had spent 10 years living in a tank with one other female, the outlet said, and the scientists suspect the newborn could be the first documented case of shark parthenogenesis in that species. Parthenogenesis is a rare phenomenon where an egg develops into an embryo without being fertilized by a sperm. The process has been observed in more than 80 vertebrate species, according to Live Science, including sharks, fish, and reptiles. About 15 species of shark and rays are known to do this, director of the Sharks and Rays Conservation Program says. He added that while sharks probably had the ability to do it, it was difficult to document in the wild. Chapman told Live Science that in the wild, parthenogenesis might be the last resort for females that cannot find a mate in situations of low population density. The response can be triggered in captive sharks who are separated from males for long periods of time, he said. There are two different types of parthenogenesis according to the National Geographic. One is apoxemous, a mix of cloning, most common in plants. The other, documented in sharks, is automyxis, which involves the slight shuffling of the mother's genes to create offspring similar to the mother, but not exact clones. Researcher Christine Dudgeon from the University of Queensland in Australia told Live Science how parthenogenesis works. Rather than combining with a sperm cell to make the embryo, The egg cell combines with a polar body, which is essentially another cell that is produced at the same time that the egg cell is produced and has the complementary DNA. Parthenogenesis is essentially a form of inbreeding, as the genetic diversity of the offspring is greatly reduced, Dudgeons added. As a result, parthenogenesis offspring could have a reduced chance of survival. Marine biologists at the Italian Aquarium have sent DNA samples to a laboratory to confirm that Ispera was born through parthenogenesis, the New York Post reported. So, I don't know if you are on the same page as me, but that means that baby Jesus was born again and is a shark this time around.
That's an interesting take on this aquatic phenomenon that you've chosen to share.
That's where I'm at right now, because that is awesome. That is crazy. I love
it. A lot of big words in that one.
You're welcome. Parthenogenesis, thank baby. You.
Parthenogenesis. Mm-hmm. So apparently, so you hadn't heard of this prior to seeing this for the first time then.
I have.
That wasn't a complete sentence. Let me say it again. Was this the first time that you had heard about this?
Not the phenomenon of
okay.
Parthenogenesis, but seahorses. This is the first time I've heard of the baby shark being born.
Baby shark kind of takes baby shark to a whole new level.
Yeah, you don't need the rest of the song. It's just baby shark, doo 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 doo, mommy shark, doo 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 doo. That's it. It's two things.
Wow.
There's no family anymore.
Talk about condensing words. It canceled itself out, really. It
condensed a whole ass song into just two parts.
You've done it. You've finally done it. You've condensed baby shark.
Hell yeah. You know how moms sometimes make you feel guilty for like being born? And they're like... Oh, you sound like you were going to get into it.
Continue. No, please go on.
You sound like you're like, yes, I do.
No, totally not.
Well, this shark has every right to. They were the sole producer. They're like, there was no one else around and I birthed you. You are the chosen one. I did this all by myself.
Did you say you're the chosen one?
The chosen one.
You were meant to destroy the Sith, baby shark.
I have great hopes for this baby shark.
I think he's going to go on to do big things and one day maybe own his own monopoly of fish tanks.
Wow. He's going to go into the business?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm just talking.
What was that joke?
I just saying things, you know, for the sake of podcasting.
Okay.
Here's the issue, though. That was obviously very intense and world defying.
Yeah.
Baby shark or mama shark, your stories.
This is like you're not impressed enough.
I am impressed. But here's the thing. What you're taking for non-impressedness is really just me acknowledging something that I don't fully understand and don't have much to say about because I don't fully understand. It's like, that's wild. That's crazy. Sharks be doing stuff that I don't get. Let them do it. Whatever. Seahorses. All that good stuff, you know?
I am concerned. You don't know. I know. But you're not thinking long term, man. Because here's the thing. One, we talked about ghosts already stepping in our territory. What if the same thing happens to us? What if women just start reproducing and don't need men?
I knew you were going to get here somehow. I knew it. Let's hang it up. Let's stop recording.
Because they're out here having sex with ghosts and they don't need us to reproduce.
Oh my gosh. If it's Captain Jack, it was meant to be. You know, that's old trotted ground. Okay, so hang on. So you don't give it away, but does your second longer story is wild as that, or is it more of a?
I think it's also wild, but
okay.
Also, back to the baby shark thing because I can't let it go. God. Before we move on, the birth of Shark Jesus maybe means that we're gonna get the birth of Shark Baby Antichrist.
Interesting.
Which would be wild. So I'm waiting to hear about.
I don't think it can be a shark, though. I think it needs to be like a starfish. like the antithesis, you know? I don't know. Not that a starfish is antithesis.
The Antichrist is also a human child, right?
Doesn't matter. I'm talking about the aquatic world. This is where we defy logic.
Got it. No. Okay. So in your casting of this play.
Broadway Jesus, play that you're gonna manage?
Jesus is the shark and the Antichrist is starfish. Okay, I see how it is.
I mean, I'm open for other interpretations, but starfish is just kind of what came to mind.
No, I see how you villainize Patrick Star from SpongeBob.
Okay, that's one of my I give SpongeBob SquarePants more respect than most of my surrounding fellow human beings. I will not have you speak to me like that. I'm gonna say a story now, you twerp.
Okay, do it.
Okay, so again, mine are a lot more lighthearted and not as science defying. So take this for what you will. These come from the home. These come from the common man, the common woman. Just take it in.
Okay.
What do you think of when you think of cats?
I think of my beautiful son, Salem, who is beautiful and can do no wrong. He is a perfect boy.
I'm talking about cats.
I think of the musical, Cats. And I think of that scene where Ian McKellen drank milk out of a bowl. And I wonder.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that film. I want to see it so bad.
And I wonder how much he was paid for that.
Probably an obscene amount of money. But I want to watch it with you.
Yes.
We need to figure this out. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So the title of this one, of this shared story was, I think my cat likes reggae music. Is that possible? Question mark.
So, very funny subject, and I'm very interested to hear the rest of this article, but also, okay. I'm pretty sure it's pronounced reggae music.
And it goes like this. Whenever I play reggae music, my cat will come out and curl up near me and start purring. If I start playing something else, she will slowly stop purring and then get up and walk away. Can cats really like music, or am I just high? I feel like it could have been a legit question up until the question was posed at the end, or am I just high?
That story took a wild ride. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. No, awesome. Yeah, cats can totally like music. I'm so excited for this phenomena. And then it was like, nope.
Oh, he's on narcotics.
Or am I just high? I think you're just high.
Can't it be both?
I think cats can appreciate reggae music. Reggae music's pretty good. I'm going to start training my cat to like reggae music. I'll play some reggae and see how he feels.
Your cat's son, Salem. Let me hit you with one more because that was really short and the other one was really long.
Oh, I thought you were going to hit me with a reggae song.
No. Reggae. Okay. So this one. Oh,
is that Bob Marley? From
if you want it to be, then yes.
Okay.
Then yes.
Sorry, I'll stop interrupting.
This is from Christina. While everyone was enjoying fried turkey for Thanksgiving, Clyde, our 50-pound corgi, sauntered by the table and began projectile vomiting and pooping turkey oil all over the carpet and our guests. It was so bad that everyone basically ran out of the house. We had to replace the carpet, and we never deep fried a turkey again.
What? That's wild.
I want to say again that she said, began projectile vomiting and pooping turkey oil. All over the carpet.
I love
but
it.
But my question, hang on, pooping turkey oil. What does that mean? Does that mean it's just pooping liquid, so you're peeing out of your butt? Or like,
oh,
what is,
100%. Have you never had such bad diarrhea that you're just shooting? You just squirting from your butt?
Did you say spewing?
Just spewing, squirting from your butt.
The answer is yes, but my question is, at that point, it's undistinguishable what it is. It's just death body liquid at that point.
Yeah,
so when she says pooping turkey oil, where does that fall?
I don't know. He's just the cat. The animal was just shooting that butt gravy.
Oh.
And she was just assumed it was oil. Maybe it just came out in its pure form. It wasn't digested properly. So it was just shooting oil that she could have reused.
I hope not.
Maybe just put it in a bottle and reuse it. That's what it was.
Give us another scientific fact in Poindexter.
Okay, so my next article was from the New York Times, but it says I've reached my limit on articles.
Uh-oh, what does that mean?
So I can't read it without paying money. Oh. I was trying to find a way around it. Like, if I can
recite it from memory.
I am going to find... I found a backup one because I was like, just in case... It doesn't work. I can find
just in case the New York Times does me dirty and they lock me out of their archives.
Yep. I guess I get one article a month because I haven't been looking at any. Anyway, now I'm going to read Untapped New York's article on the same thing, which is much worse and not as fun. So we'll read it. We'll read through it.
I love less fun.
Yeah, everyone loves less fun.
Hit me with it.
Okay. Untapped New York. Could there be alligators in New York City sewers?
Oh, my.
I've always wondered about this. Growing up in New York City, I always... This is not the article. It's just me. Growing up in New York City, I always wondered if there were alligators in the subway. It was like a thing that we were told that they're in the subway, they're in the sewers. And...
I, too, recall this, and I didn't live in New York.
And people were flushing them down the toilet. And my girlfriend was like, I've never heard this in my life. And I was like, what? It's totally a thing. So I found this article because I was thinking about animals.
Ninja Turtles.
In New York City and Ninja Turtles. New York City has long had a fascination with alligators in the sewer. The legend has been referenced across popular culture from Thomas Pynchon to Sharknado 2. But there's also a bit of historical truth to this tall tale. New York City has been, and still could be, home to an alligator or two in its vast sewer system. On July 20th, join author Thomas Haynes for a talk on alligators in New York City sewers. How the story grew from such mythic proportions, and how the legend has a bit of truth behind it. Hines is the author of the book Wild City and Illustrated Guides to the 40. Oh, well, this is just an ad for him. Let's skip again. At the talk, learn how the sewer. This is just an ad for the talk. Legend. Okay. I'm going to skip ahead. Although alligators may not exist in New York City sewers, the legend of them remains a part of New York City mythology. According to legend, wealthy families went vacationing in warmer climates and would return to New York City with a baby alligator as souvenirs. Eventually, these pets grew too big and were flushed down the toilet. The legend concludes by noting how alligators have roamed the murky waters of the city sewers, dining on the city's rats. The legend actually began circulating around the same time that actual alligators began making appearances around the city. In June 1932, see, this article is already wrong because in the New York Times version, it said 1907 was the first New York City sighting of an alligator in the sewers. But whatever, we'll go with a stupid version of the article because it's free. In June 1932, two boys brought a dead 3-foot alligator to the Bronx River Park police, confirming at least 3 more alligators alive at the river. A hunting expedition ultimately found no traces of alligators, though. On February 10th, June 1935, the New York Times reported a 7-foot, 125-pound alligator turning up in the sewers near 123rd Street in Harlem. Some neighborhood boys were shoveling snow into a manhole when they came across a diseased alligator. The boys attached a slip knot around the massive creature and pulled it from the sewer, but no pictures confirmed the events of that crazy day. Robert Daly's 1959 nonfiction book, The World Beneath the City, recalls a story told to him by New York City's superintendent of sewers, Teddy May. For years, May heard rumors of the alligator congregations from his employees, yet he suspected these to be legends. However, one night on a search for these creatures, he detected alligators serenely paddling and a colony that appeared to have settled contently under the very streets of the busiest city in the world. Rat poison and 22 rifles were supposedly used on these alligator hunts, although there is little evidence to back up May's claims. As recently as August 23rd, 2010, Witnesses in Queens reported seeing an 18-inch alligator. The mystery resolved when it was reported that the alligator had fallen from a ship and dragged itself from the East River to residents. Allusions to the sewers can be seen at 14th Street Station on 8th Avenue lines. There's an art installation, Life Underground, depicts a variety of scenes, including an alligator reaching out from underneath a manhole to snatch a man for dinner. That's it.
My main thought is when you had said that the alligator had turned up in the sewer. Turned up as in he was just there, or turned up in the sense that he was having a party, he was vibing,
yes,
he had sunglasses on.
Yes, he was turned.
Okay. Also, he fell from a ship. Mm-hmm. What ship is this? What ship had a gator
of any kind? The SS Gator.
I don't think so.
I could do better. The SS.
You can.
Godzilla. The SS. See you later. Dot, dot, dot. You know the rest.
Okay. So you tell me your thoughts on New York City gallon gators that may or may not be there. What does your heart tell you? What do you want it to be?
I think that there are alligators because I did the first article I read in the New York Times said that since 1907, it's been going back in history, and they also cited more current reports of alligators appearing in the Bronx and in Queens. And that coincides with another article that I read that I guess I could just find here and read about the amount of exotic illegal animals in New York City. I think it's more of an issue of people buying illegal animals and then flushing them down the toilet or trying to get rid of them and them appearing elsewhere in the city, rather than it being an issue of magical, mystical alligators showing up.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
Your turn, bud.
Well, yeah. I feel inadequate.
My
silly house pet stories. They can never stand up to Teenage Mutant Gators in New York City.
Actually,
I'm supremely outmatched.
The tales of the alligators in the sewers inspired the Ninja Turtles character Leatherhead. And also maybe even the Ninja Turtles themselves.
Okay, well, I'm going to show you up by Jackie's story.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, let's go, Jackie.
I took my dog to a hotel where there was a revolving door. She poops when she gets nervous, and I thought she would be fine going through the revolving door. I was wrong. She pooped, and it just kept revolving and revolving and revolving.
I walked
in circles trying to pick it up as it had been smeared into the carpet.
Oh, no.
Take that, gators falling from ships for no good reason.
Where did you find these stories?
I'm not giving you my sources. We're supposed to work hard.
Did you just text your friends?
I don't talk about reproducing sharks.
Did you just text your friends and you were like, hey, buds, tell me some stories. And they were like,
fellow buds.
This one time, my dog shit in the revolving door.
At the Ritz-Carlton or whatever, apparently.
That's awesome. I love that so much. Yeah,
well, you know, dogs do a lot of things when they're nervous. And that's one of the reasons I despise them. It's just like, keep what's supposed to be on the inside, and just live your dog life. It's not like it's hard.
I've seen a lot of people on Reddit. Sorry. I've seen a lot of people on Reddit posting about how, like, their dog poops and then it gets stuck in, like, the Roomba. And it just, like, throws shit all over the house. Ugh. Nightmare.
I don't like poop Roombas.
Nobody likes poop Roombas. If you're going to have a robot in your home, it better pick up the poop. At least.
Not one of my go-tos, I would say.
What?
Poop Roombas.
Okay. You have more stories?
I do, but what do you have? What is your side looking like?
I have this to coincide with my other alligator story. Brooklyn man busted for keeping 3-foot-long alligator as pet.
There it is. That's good.
Josh.
That's good. What do you are you upset about not having gators as pets, or would you be okay with having gators as pets?
I am hoping that this episode convinces my girlfriend to let me buy an alligator as a pet.
Where are you going to get an alligator from?
The alligator store. Well, maybe we'll find out by reading this article.
Oh, I should shut up and listen then.
Maybe at the end of it, it's like, and if you want an alligator.
Wow, you conned us all, and I fell for it.
This whole thing was just an ad for alligators. This episode's sponsored by Alligators R Us, located in Florida. You can get all your alligators. Sticky. Okay, can you guess the first line of this article?
Help, I'm being eaten by gator. Send SOS.
That was much better than this first line of this article.
Says, was I close?
No. See you later, alligator.
I'm going to log off. It's been fun. We'll see you in episode 13.
A 3 foot long alligator, gator was confiscated from a beastly Brooklyn man. That's rude. Who sometimes kept the reptile with razor sharp teeth in a waiting pool in a shared yard behind his Bensonhurst digs. Victor Alexandria, who dubbed the gator Dino, and claims he's raised the 3-year-old reptile since he fit in the palm of my hand and was charged improper precaution of a wild animal, a misdemeanor with disorderly conduct for creating a hazardous condition. Alexandria, 45, was released Thursday after a brief appearance in Brooklyn criminal court. He faces a $500 fine and up to a year in jail if convicted. Meanwhile, Dino was cooling his claws at an animal shelter. I'm going to fight the city, a defiant Alexandria said. What's the big deal about the gator? It's a reptile. It won't cause bodily harm to anyone if you treat him right. If you treat him the right way, and you give him goldfish. While Alexandria ranted, his neighbors on Bay 40th Street were shaking their heads. I'd heard about the alligator, but I didn't believe it, said one, who asked not to be identified. I've seen him with a Maltese dog, 2 cockatoos, and a parrot, but an alligator? My God. The eyes of another neighbor, Tom Lloyd, grew wide when he was told about the carnivorous critter. Oh my God, an alligator, said Lloyd, 62, who lives around the corner from Alexandria and can see his neighbor's garage and front yard from his back porch. There's pictures of the alligator in the pool. It's pretty cute. I saw the pool right there, right where the garage is. It was always out, but I didn't know an alligator was inside, he said. My heart jumped when I heard that. I'd see him with big birds, but an alligator? There's not many things I'm afraid of, but that's something I'm afraid of. Alexandra, who was busted Tuesday, is no stranger to police and has a criminal record dating back in 1998. His fixation with wild exotic animals is well known to authorities. In June 2005, Alexandra was arrested on the Coney Island boardwalk and charged with 24 counts of aggravated animal torture after cops found a menagerie stuffed inside his backpack, a parrot, a long albino python, and several lizards. That's it.
Is that it? The man had a zoo in his house.
The man just had a zoo in his house. I think he was trying to play Pokemon before Pokemon was a thing.
Interesting.
Well, this says 2005, so maybe he was just playing Pokemon at the height of Pokemon.
So you're just trying to say he was catching everything, butterflies, catch everything. Small children, gators. Okay.
I mean, I've walked around before when I was in my youth.
You've walked around?
With a Pokeball. And I thought, maybe I could fit a chipmunk inside. So maybe he just saw his backpack as a big old Pokeball and was just trying to cram a bunch of Pokemon in.
How did that story end, though, for you? There was something else there.
I didn't do it because I'm not a psychopath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's how cool. It ends, yeah, for me.
Great. That's probably for the best then.
Yep.
I'm not disappointed. You're disappointed. That's fine. Interesting.
I'm sorry.
Interesting. Gators. Well, I mean, it kind of, I recall, I don't remember if this is a real story or not. I'm sure it is. I recall a story about someone, and jokes aside, I think it was in Florida. They had a snake as a pet. Do you remember this?
A python, yeah.
The snake ate them.
Yes.
Do you remember that? So, like, I can't imagine having, you know, a similar dinosaur in your house and really getting the small end of the stick there.
I've personally seen a few people with exotic pets. Another article I read mentioned that, like, there's just yearly there are hundreds of reports of, like, exotic animals having to be taken away from their owners in the city because you're trying to have an alligator in your bathtub or a tiger or whatever. It's crazy. I actually knew someone who had, I think, an anaconda, and it got out, and he was, like, frantically looking for it because he was, like, it got loose because in the apartment building.
Eat him?
And it could eat someone in the building.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit.
Yep.
Not one bit. Not one bit do I like that. Not one bit.
Okay, what's what you got? Hit me with what you got, well, baby. It's
not as dangerous as what you had just said, but I'll do it. I'll give it my darndest.
Did a dog poop in a windmill?
Here's it is.
Okay.
This is from Jen. We were hosting a large family gathering at my house. We had a few lovely scented candles lit to add to the experience.
Brag.
My cat jumped on the coffee table and walked past the candle. His butt caught on fire, and my aunt ran around smacking him to put it out. Instead of beautiful scented candles, the house smelt like burning cat. It was a rather pungent odor that I will never truly forget.
I think I saw that scented candle on
Burning
Goop's,
Cat.
Yeah, on Goop's website. It's supposed to be good for recycling your chakra.
Are you? You're pulling me, right?
I'm pulling.
You pull my leg.
I'm pulling your toes.
Just making sure. I just think you don't know what to do with a burning cat, so you have to make jokes about it to make light of the situation.
I mean, it's a very funny situation.
You wouldn't want your child Salem on fire running around.
No,
to put him out.
But I'm also,
you don't want him in a candle.
I'm also not gonna. I don't know what she did to make her cat so flammable.
Tip. Well, just existing, I would assume.
I was gonna say, like, I have candles around, and Salem's never caught fire. I'm sure plenty of cat owners have candles around. You just gotta stop brushing your cat with gasoline.
Well, to each their own, I suppose.
I give my cat daily gasoline baths.
It makes him grow to such extents. How much more do you got? What are you looking like over there? What's the arsenal feeling like?
That's it. That's my arsenal.
Very
good.
What
I got mainly.
Very good. Then before we skiddly daddly, I'll slap you with. I have two more. Let me decide. Let
do
me
them.
Decide. Let me decide.
Just do them both.
Well, okay.
Hit me with your best shot.
Da, na, 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 na,
you hit me with your best shot.
On the water, fire in the sky. This is called Unwanted Gifts.
Oh.
Brooke Rose was dog sitting a friend's dog named Huck. And she said Huck showed up on the back porch with a detached deer leg in his mouth. I have no idea if the golden retriever ripped the leg off of a carcass himself or just found the leg, but I was at a total loss for what to do, she said. In Tahoe, it's not odd to find a deer carcass here and there, according to Rose. Period.
Wait, I missed that whole article. It was like you said.
I'm sorry. Did I bore you?
No. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again.
Read
it again.
Brooke Rose was dog sitting at a friend's dog named Huck. And he said Huck showed up on the back porch with a detached deer leg in his mouth. I have no idea if the golden retriever ripped the leg off carcass himself or just found the leg, but I was a total loss for what to do, she said. And how it's not odd to find a deer carcass here and there, according to Rose.
I thought I missed something. I was like, there's no way the article was just dog brings leg to owner.
Dog did bring leg to owner. Is that not entertaining enough for
dog
you?
Dog brings leg to owner.
All right, we're going to go.
I mean, that's,
bang,
that is a, honestly a terrifying thing. My cat brought me a mouse, and I was like, I was so proud, and he did a great job protecting me from mice.
Are you proud? Okay.
Because he's protecting me. I don't want mice running around the house, and now they know to watch their fucking steps. Because you come in this house, you're going to get got. You know?
You're going to get got by Salem, the kitty cat.
This place is not for mice, okay?
That's good. That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad but you have boundaries set up. Oh, good.
But if a dog showed up with a fucking deer leg in its mouth, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, that is kind of more extreme. I think it's fair to say. That's nuts. All right, we're gonna go out with a bang here. You good? You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This story is called Special Diets. This was like a group. So this person is referencing the group that they're a part of. Many of you know I am a pet sitter through my business, Run the Mutt. A couple of years ago, I arrived at a new client's apartment. I noticed a strong odor before I even got to her door. She was the owner of two Yorkie mixes. The dogs just kept getting sick, she explained. Then she went over their schedule, explaining that they were not housebroken yet and that I should expect them to poop in the apartment. She'd had them a year. For their meals, she instructed me to give them Kentucky Fried Chicken twice a day and showed me the red family-sized bucket. I also noticed a plate of dried-up Kraft mac and cheese on the floor, untouched. Please give them bottled water, she said. The tap water is just too hard on their little systems. Yeah. So obviously the takeaway is that if you give an animal that which it should not have, expect unpleasantries.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. What, KFC or the dogs pooping? KFC.
The dogs pooping KFC.
Yeah, that is not good. I can't even, like there's no, do they have boneless chicken at KFC? I don't know. I haven't been there.
They do have boneless options at KFC.
Okay, so I'm assuming that she's feeding them boneless options then.
I don't know that.
No, I'm not accusing you.
We don't know that. It could just be bone full, not boneless.
It could be bone full. I'm sorry. Holy cow.
It could be an adventure. All bones.
Well, all bones or no bones, it really has no consequence. But I think what does have consequence is that we've learned some things here today. We've also heard things that don't matter at all. And that was my contribution to the show.
Hey, I liked it.
I think there's a healthy balance between education and fun. Dare I say, do you feel fulfilled? Was that okay?
I feel fulfilled. I think that was another great episode in the pantheon of incredible episodes.
Now you're just lying.
If you're listening, go back to our catalog. If this is your first episode, welcome. Welcome to the Weirdzilla podcast and go spread the joy. Let people know what you listen to.
It sounded like you said bread the joy, like they're going to, you know, spread butter, happiness butter on the bread of joy.
Bread the joy with the beautiful panko breadcrumbs, baby, and then deep fry it.
Oh, say panko?
Panko, baby.
I don't know what panko is, but what I do know is that we're on the Facebooks, we're on the Twitters, we're on the Instagrams at Weirdzilla Podcast. And again, Marcus, you need to email us at weirdzillapodcast@gmail.com for it came from inside the house. Weird spooky tales that may or may not involve true crime or being tempted at an apartment building. It's really of no consequence to me. Mm-hmm. I enjoy anything.
And if you're in the sewers hunting some gators,
Weirdzilla Podcast will smell you later.